First thing on my list, go figure, it's a brand new John Cena action figure. Second thing on my list, guess what? It's a really cute girl with a really cute butt. Mike said Krispy Kreme, hold up.
Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy. Christmassy classy.
Christmassy classy. It's that time of year.
It's that time of year for the holiday cheer. So, we have a TLC to talk about.
It feels odd because I wasn't able to give out any maths.
I know.
But then again, going in, I wouldn't have given much.
No, math. Maybe three maths for the entire pay-per-view.
Probably, because I didn't care about the card, especially with all the changes they'd made.
Well, that's the thing, is like the TLC match that wasn't really a TLC match.
No, yeah,
and
it was a no disqualification match. And just how it happened to have tables, ladders, and chairs in it.
Yeah, and the two person Money in the Bank match.
Yeah,
like that's almost all that was promoted. So
yeah,
I don't think I could have told you what the other matches were. If you had accosted me in the street,
going into it, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like during the build up.
Yeah, and see, that was the thing. Like, I don't know if watching it, my expectations were so low, but that was a really good pay per view.
It was. My expectations were actually really high.
Really?
Just last year's TLC.
Last year's TLC was good.
Gorgeous,
especially the WWE Championship match.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I can't really remember any other match though. From last year. Not off the top of my head.
I mean, that
match was fantastic.
Ryder and Ziggler was on there.
That's right. And the chair. Okay, yeah. And the chair match that led to Daniel Bryan cashing in. Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Right.
So, no, it was an attractive pay-per-view last year.
So, I love the, like, New York and New Jersey area for that.
Yeah.
For TLC.
Yeah. I don't know.
And that's one thing that, you know, needs to be talked about. They were at the Barclay Center, and the very, very brand spanking new Barclay Center, and the crowd was fantastic.
Good job, crowd.
It even got to the point where I noticed the commentators just kind of gave up trying to ignore the fact that the crowd was completely in Ziggler's pocket.
Yeah.
You know? They made one feeble attempt when Cena was coming out. Be like, oh yeah, you hear that? That's what Ziggler hates. And I'm thinking, like, they hate that they don't like Cena. Like, what's your reasoning there? And then they just kind of gave up after that, which is good because they just blatantly lie about that stuff.
Yeah, let's go Sheamus.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh yeah, they're clearly saying let's go Sheamus, but they're, you know, booing Sheamus.
I shocker of the night. I really liked commentary. These three guys work really good.
And, I mean, they helped because some of the matches were kind of slow, and I really didn't care. But they, you know, I was just laughing my butt off with, you know, JBL throwing insults. And
well, he does a perfect – that's a heel – that's the heel commentator that Michael Cole never was able to be.
Yeah, I mean, okay, Michael Cole is good when he's a heel commentator for a reason. Like, he's part of some sort of storyline or something like that.
Yeah.
For him to just be a heel commentator and still carry the commentating team is a whole other story. Yeah. When you have a guy who doesn't really need to carry everything and you don't really rely on him to tell you what's happening in the ring, then he's a great balance to the other two, and which is why I'm glad that we had the Slammies and had the three of them again.
That's honestly the...
That's
the team that I want right now.
Yeah.
I want a three-person team with those guys.
It's like you have Lawler, who's far face. JBL, who's not really far heel.
Right.
Or he's a far comedic heel. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And then you have Cole, who's more or less in the middle right now.
In the middle, actually calling some stuff that's happening.
Right. And he's actually, you know...
Well, he's pointing stuff out. Like, that's the thing that I really like. Even, like, when he was talking about, like, Sin Cara, that I didn't care that much about, he would point stuff out that wasn't, you know... He did good. He served the product well. That was what he did.
Right.
He did a good job.
Which is what the quote-unquote straight man should do in the commentary team.
Yeah. So, I think that's been...
Although, I'm sure at one point during the whole Cody Rhodes thing, I don't know if it was TLC or Raw, but they just... JBL just started naming dudes with mustaches instead of calling the match. I was like, okay, all right, we get it. He has a mustache. Hooray.
Are you kidding me?
As much as I love Cody Rhodes' mustache, don't get me wrong.
It got a chant.
It got a chain.
It got a Cody's mustache.
And that's something you just cannot ignore.
So, but yeah, good all around pay per view.
All right, yeah.
You want to go through it?
Yeah. All righty. We'll lead off with the pre-show match, which is the Santa's Little Helper, which is just what they call every Divas match in December.
Yeah.
You notice that? Because there was,
No, there was the Kiss on Pole match that never came to fruition.
That's right.
Whichever Bella won that never cashed
one of the
Bella,
yeah, no.
It's the maddening unresolved storyline for me.
I'm sorry. Maybe they just refused and that's why they released their contract.
Because
they wouldn't go through with their kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
well, they have now both actually picked actual WWE superstars to
fair date. Enough. And maybe they're like, okay, that's too far up the ladder. That's too far up the card. So we're going to let you go. Maybe that's what it was.
That's exactly what happened. I'm sure that's exactly what happened.
I saw those photos of whichever Bella that was. I can't tell them apart. The one that doesn't have a boob job.
Yeah, I was like, even now,
now
magic is ruined forever.
Even now, because I don't know which one had the boob job. Just like Jimmy and Jey Uso, I know one is a little bit more ripped and a little bit more fit in general, but I don't know which one that is.
Doesn't one of them have their name tattooed?
Yeah. One of them has a tattoo like on their chest, and like it might be their name, but the camera doesn't go all the way.
I know. There's never.
I can't really see that.
So, but
I don't know. but yeah, well, at least this year, it seems like every Divas match that has more than three Divas is going to be called Santa's Little Helper match.
Yeah.
Because I think we've already seen two. I think there was one. No. I read the spoilers for next Monday Night Raw because they had a taper.
The 24th?
They had a taper early and they had a Santa's Little Helper match.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm not going to ruin anything. I'm not going to give out details or anything. But it sounds so ridiculously hokey.
It sounds very skippable.
No.
Like,
have you read it?
I've read. Yes.
It's Monday Night Raw with an incomplete story arc.
Yeah.
Just for that one night.
Yeah.
It's so weird, but yet kind of works.
I mean, yeah.
The opening premise of it actually sounds kind of funny. Just the.
I mean, obviously, it airs Christmas Eve, so I'm not going to watch it live. I'm going to watch it later. I'm going to watch it sometime at the midpoint of the week.
Yeah, I have no idea, because, I mean, I've got my own Christmas Eve tradition. I mean, I got to watch Die Hard.
Yeah. No.
I mean, come on. But yeah. I'm talking my sister into. Like, we're doing this now.
Fantastic.
Because, okay, when she got married, she was living on her own with her husband.
Yeah.
And so, me and her usually, stayed up all night watching movie after movie after movie. And then, after that, I had to, entertain myself. And that's the perfect time where you introduce the Die Hard tradition.
Yes.
So, now that she's back with the parents, we are combining those traditions and I'm making her watch Die Hard.
Huzzah.
I'm converting.
All right.
Know that has nothing to do with wrestling, but I felt like I needed to put that in because it's Christmas, people. Because
it's Christmas time and that means it's Die Hard time.
Exactly. Because it's the perfect Christmas movie. All right. Going back
anyway,
to,
some ladies fought.
Some ladies fought,
and a Funkadactyl won.
Yeah, I mean, granted, it was the Funkadactyl that actually had a wrestling background.
Was it the one that liked Melina and...
No, because that one,
the one
that was on Tough Enough was also the same one that had the DUI and lied to the cop.
Okay.
The arrest record. No,
yeah.
So this one actually has a clean record, and has actually... This is the one that was in NXT, has a background. Now, she looked... I mean, she didn't really have that many spots in the actual Battle Royal or whatever.
Yeah.
But, in what spots she had, gave me a little bit of hope. I was like, wow, she actually can move around in the ring. That's pretty impressive. But, yeah, she won basically because Eve interfered and cost Caitlyn the match.
Yeah.
Which is, as we're seeing, is going to cause...
Because that's the real feud is Caitlyn.
That's the real feud. Although, I'm not so sure after watching Monday Night, though. Like, I don't know if they're gonna throw Caitlyn in with the AJ thing now. This is the second time AJ's attacked Caitlyn.
Yeah.
Now, granted, last time they kind of brushed that under the rug after, the second week.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe. I don't know what they're gonna do with AJ.
Well, I mean,
It feels like they can do no wrong with AJ right now.
Quick question. Did you watch SmackDown?
I've not watched live SmackDown that yet.
All right, we'll get to it. But there's a
there's a
further development AJ thing.
Okay.
Now, right. And I don't know if you've read up on it or anything.
Nah. Okay. You'll have to elaborate.
Okay. All right. So moving on to the actual show itself, we started off with the tables match for the number one contendership for the tag team championship, which.
Man, I like this match.
Thought I was going to hate it just because of mass disappointment. You know, and that whole team. Like, I mean, of course, I love Cody. I adore Sandow.
I
wasn't so sure about those two. But, in all fairness, they all pulled it off. Sin Cara didn't screw that many things up.
He took a nice bump through
a
table.
He took a nice bump. And, I mean, I'm starting to believe that the one thing that he can absolutely get right... It's falling through something. Because, you know, at Money in the Bank, whenever Sheamus powerbombed him through that
Through the ladder? Yeah.
It was fantastic. I mean, granted, the little shaking thing was kind of hokey and fake, but whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I honestly think that Sin Cara is improving. I think...
Yeah.
I think
he's
finally...
His mistakes are a lot less glaring.
Yeah. I think
every now and then he'll have a bigger mistake, but
I think he just had to adjust to the WWE style,
right? And know that you know
and presentation,
and know that not everyone can necessarily have a match against his style and match up with that,
right?
Which is why you saw like he had a lot of matches against Chavo, against Alberto Del Rio, against Daniel Bryan, against Tyson Kidd, like people that could actually like. Keep up with him in the ring and his style. But now we're seeing him branch out a little bit more now that he's getting more and more experience with non-lucha type wrestlers.
Yeah, and, you know, I think he was probably just pushed too rapidly, you know.
He really was. They didn't really give him any time to develop. They threw him immediately into a feud. And, I don't know, it just didn't really gel.
I mean, there's some early ones. There was a SmackDown episode where it was one of the Just Cuz matches was Sin Cara versus Daniel Bryan, and it was a gorgeous.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, part of that has, you know, it's Daniel Bryan.
No,
right?
I mean,
against the right guy who can
like
who knows how to get a good match out of anyone, you know.
I mean, I'll make fun of Sin Cara botching all day long.
Oh, yeah.
But
I can't deny
the guy has some serious talent.
The guy has some skill, just like, you know, Rey Mysterio. He still has something in the tank, I guess. Him and his moves.
Honestly, I think he's probably really helping Sin Cara.
Well, yeah.
Develop how to... So even though I'm not really impressed with his ring work right now, I think he's probably doing a good job.
Right, he's doing a good job behind the scenes.
Which, at this stage in his career, that's probably, a really good thing.
And probably the safest thing is for his well-being.
Yeah,
if I would have been surprised if Ray took that bump.
Yeah.
You know, Sin Cara doing it, I think it gained him a little bit more respect, at least from...
From me.
From, you know, the internet.
Yeah.
Because the internet was brutal. Like, I know I was brutal, and I'm still going to be brutal if he screws things up. But I'll give him that, you know, it took a lot of guts to take that.
Yeah.
And essentially, when you weren't... He wasn't even in control of his own fall.
No.
You know, he was literally pushed in midair.
Yeah.
I mean, that's putting a lot of faith in... Who was it? I was...
Cody. Cody
yeah.
pushed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But it's good.
Yeah. I dug good. It. And, you know, our guys won,
yeah,
which makes me.
And I usually, I mean, I usually don't care for table matches, but I love tag team matches when everybody's legal.
I do love.
I wish they would do those more.
Yeah, me too.
Because
they don't do those nearly enough. I'm more of a fan of tables matches than I am chairs matches.
I don't like chairs. Chairs match. It's just a match.
Exactly.
They use chairs so much in matches that aren't chairs matches.
Right.
No.
So. Although, I mean,
I like
the past, we've had some good table matches, just because, one, we got Big Show Oops Face.
Big Show Oops Face is good.
You know, and this table match is good. I don't remember what the table match was for last TLC.
I don't know what last TLC was, but I do remember Sheamus putting John Cena through the table.
Well, that was to win
was
the WWE.
That was 2009, I think?
Something like that, yeah.
I remember that one.
Right.
But moving on.
We got the United States Championship match, Antonio Cesaro versus R-Truth.
Cesaro's starting to win me over.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Like,
me too.
And honestly, I think, because I've started to see some of his, like, earlier stuff.
You're going back and then looking at his, like, Ring of Honor stuff. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean... And, you know, and
I think it's just because I didn't know who he was at all.
We're not all that big into Ring of Honor. And I know that's a daring thing to say on the internet, but you know, we were a little bit unknowing about his independent career. But you know, judging off of just his ring work now, I'm officially won over with his in ring. Work.
Yeah.
His character...
That's the thing. My first introduction to him was
the character.
The five languages thing, which...
Right.
Boo to that.
Absolutely.
I mean...
Absolutely. Now, as far as this match, it was a good match. I wasn't really wowed by anything. Although, apparently, R-Truth really messed up his knee.
Yeah?
He tweeted a picture of it. It was pretty gruesome. It's like one of those images I can't get out of my head.
I think it's a conspiracy.
It might be a conspiracy.
I hope it's a conspiracy.
I hope it's a conspiracy because, dear Lord, we need our heel.
There's nothing for R-Truth to do right now.
No.
No.
No, because I mean, he's lost, what, 2 pay-per-view matches?
Yeah.
Against Cesaro? Where's he going to go from here? I mean, yeah, we got the Rumble. So, like, not everybody needs to be in a storyline right now.
Yeah,
just
no.
Just because of the Rumble, but after that, they're going to need something. But then again,
I'll even give him till after Mania because Mania is gonna be just chock full of, like, building up legends and stuff.
Right. That's what killed R-Truth last year. You know, when he turned over as a face last time, and it was around this time of the year, and so there really wasn't anything when he turned face. It was around this time of year, and there really wasn't anything to build him up from that. So,
oh, yeah, after.
Resulting in not much from him.
Yeah, because he came back, beat The Miz.
Yeah.
After Survivor Series.
Like, what did he do anything for Mania? Was he in Team Teddy? I think.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah, like...
I remember Zack Ryder and Dolph Ziggler. That's all I remember from that match.
Yeah.
We stumble along.
Yeah. We got
Kofi and Wade.
Intercontinental Championship, Kofi and Wade. Another decent match. Although I wasn't into it as I thought I was going to be. Just it didn't really do a whole lot for me. It wasn't a bad match, but it just, you know,
there's not a lot of story build up there.
Right.
And both of those guys, and that's really it, is that there's not a lot of story, but both of those guys feel like I'm ready for them to bust through the glass ceiling into main event status.
Right.
But they're kind of just like in their own little mini sandbox playing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know...
I mean, I'm pretty sure they're still, like... pardon the pun. Waiting in the water.
But I'm saying, yeah, fine.
I'm sorry. I meant not to laugh at that, but I kind of cracked myself up. I'm pretty sure they're biding their time.
Okay.
Until they have another Money in the Bank. And so they can go forward with their original plan.
Yeah.
They were going to bring Money in the Bank back at Mania last year and have Wade win. But then when Wade got hurt, they were like, okay, we're just going to scrap an idea entirely, which seemed really dumb to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that kind of made me wonder if they were even going to do it in the first place. But, you know, whatever.
I mean, I don't want to subscribe to the idea that for a mid-carder to make it into the, you know, main event scene, he has to feud with a main eventer.
Right.
But I don't know how to take these two guys who are, like, right there on the cusp and have them... I mean, there's nothing between the characters that really makes me think they would feud.
Yeah.
And, I mean...
There's nothing between... Like, and that's the one thing that I've always felt bad
And again,
because
like,
they never really put him in anything to give him a chance to...
Yeah.
Really build her.
And again, I've always, like, wanted to stand by the statement that two guys winning the same title should be enough to make a compelling feud.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but that's, I'm struggling here.
But this is also an era where we have guys like Punk who seems like every feud he's in, there's a bigger reason for it.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. Maybe we're spoiled.
Oh, yeah.
So, chugging along. After that, we had the quote-unquote TLC match.
I seriously thought this was going to be the main event. It really caught me off guard.
It did for me, too.
When it came
to the middle. Some people pointed this out, and I mean, I'm pretty sure they did do it on purpose. But Ryback didn't get his normal reception. He got a lot of Goldberg chants, but I really thought we were done with that. I really did. But then again, we were, you know, in Brooklyn, and we're in smart city, you know, essentially USA, other than Philly. So the crowd wasn't necessarily behind Ryback as a usual crowd would be. At least, you know, if that was in Greensboro. They would have been completely in Ryback's pocket. So maybe it was a good thing that they didn't. But then again, that wouldn't make any sense because he ended up losing anyway.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I'm glad he lost.
It made sense to for that to happen, but I couldn't piece together how they could have Ryback's team lose convincingly, you know? Like... Mm-hmm. Because you know how they are about faces, you know?
Yeah.
They would have S.H.I.E.L.D. barely escape with a win, blah, 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 you know? Which, essentially, that's what they did, but they did it in a much smarter way.
I really liked it. There's a little bit where Kane was buried beneath stuff for...
Yeah, but the bump he took
forever.
The bump he took to get to that point was fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's, like... There was a point in the match where pretty much all six participants had their own moment and really impressed me.
Yeah.
You know? And Roman Reigns, like, he was just a beast that night.
Yeah. No,
I think they're wanting to kind of change that. Because usually he was the quiet, you know, reserved guy. Now he's, like, the yelling monster.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they kind of got the idea from his performance at TLC that maybe we need to harness that from him. Because we saw that, you know, he was yelling a lot more at SmackDown whenever they came out and attacked people. He was doing that a lot more. So I really like that they're already making good tweaks on character.
Right.
Holy crap, Seth Rollins. I'm surprised he is alive. Like, first of all, he debuted his finisher that he's had, which I'm guessing everyone was wondering, like, what kind of moves is he going to have? Is he still going to have his old finisher? Turns out he did, because holy crap, he just completely curb stomped Daniel Bryan to that chair.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Yeah. Yes.
It was simple, but completely impressive.
That chair, that chair looked so sad afterwards. God.
I didn't like the one part where they were setting up, they were putting a chair on the mat, or Dean was setting up a chair on the mat for some move to happen, and he noticed that it was damaged, and I think Roman was coming in with a better chair.
Yeah.
And so Dean just simply slid it right under his feet and just threw it out the ring. I was like, Dean. And then, Dean had his moment where he was making his face after getting...
After Ryback hit him.
After he got suplex onto the chair.
Yeah.
That face...
The good thing about it is the match, everything felt pretty natural and logical.
Right.
It looked like the Shield actually used strategy to isolate one at a time and attack.
Right. Which, and it all started, it started with Seth Rollins hitting, I know the name of his finisher, I just can't think of it right now, him hitting that on Daniel Bryan. It subdued him for a long time.
Yeah.
Then I think after that, that's when they took out Kane and buried him under everything. And then that's when they sent, Ryback on his merry way down the ramp. And as soon as they saw... And it was like, I don't know just how much planning went into this. But the way it was executed was fantastic. Because they waited. The other... Dean and Roman waited until Ryback was completely up the ladder. And then those two just completely booked it. And went right back to the ring and attacked Daniel Bryan for the pin.
Yeah.
And Ryback couldn't get back in time.
It was good.
And Seth Rollins, that might be bump of the year.
Really?
That just this, literally, you know, just hitting his head on the other table like that and still being, you know, alive.
Yeah.
Is impressive. Like, that was pretty much, I would say that was up there with Ricardo.
I mean, that's the obvious comparison, because off ladder through table at TLC.
Yeah, granted, Ricardo actually went through all the tables.
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna give it to Ricardo.
Yeah.
Because, that's still, like...
But as far as, like, risking actual injury, Seth Rollins, all the way.
I mean, it was easily bump of the night, but...
Oh, yeah.
So, Ryback's lost 3 pay-per-views in a row.
He has lost 3 pay-per-views in a row.
But...
It's probably gonna... Because that was one thing that they announced at SmackDown, is that...
First
Raw of the year, he's going to get a championship match against CM Punk.
Yeah.
He's probably going to lose that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, that new CM Punk shirt would be null and void.
Yeah. And it's too awesome of a shirt.
It's too awesome of a shirt to waste.
Best shirt since the white one, the re-debut.
Really?
I think so.
I know a lot of people like the gray one. I personally, I'm more partial to the white one.
Yeah, I'm giving it to Nice Faces.
All right.
So,
fair enough. Good.
So moving
on. But do you think, just touching back on Ryback losing 4 pay-per-view matches and probably losing this championship match, like, do you think it's damaged his image in any way, or?
I mean.
Or has it taken the shine off of him?
Well, here's the thing. We're getting to the point of doing the road to WrestleMania. And you've got... You know you're going to have Rock. You know you're going to have Undertaker. You know you're going to have Brock.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you're going to have Punk and Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there, you could basically throw those names in a hat, pull out 2, and have a WrestleMania match.
Right.
And then you have one left over. So is that your slot to stick Ryback in?
Yeah.
Because any of those, like, Ryback versus Brock, that would draw.
Right.
Yeah. Ryback takes on the streak, that would draw. Ryback takes on Rock, that would draw.
It would.
And so, you know, the thing is, because Ryback's so fairly new, it's easy to see in this time where it's building up the return of legends and the biggest names who show up part-time. That's what really
right.
fills this time.
Yeah.
So
Ryback's probably going to have to take a back seat.
It's possible to see Ryback taking a back seat in that.
And another thing that I'm noticing is they're filling up the roster big time right now. And I know a lot of it has to do with the Rumble coming up, and they're really having to fill up the Rumble. But we got, you know, think of the new guys that have premiered already before, you know, the past few days. We had Ryback, we have Sandow, Cesaro, I'm probably forgetting some, but now we have 3 more guys with the Shield.
3 Shields.
We have Big E Langston,
Biggie,
who is already casting a shadow on Ryback, to be honest with you. Like,
yeah, no, I could see.
That's a big boy.
He's the guy.
He was on the video in John Cena's gym.
Yeah.
I noticed that because I just recently rewatched the earlier pay-per-views.
Yeah, it's like, I think it was on the Once in a Lifetime documentary that...
It might have been. I just know it was on one of the vignettes they showed during one of the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And before anyone comes to the conclusion, I don't randomly watch pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting ready for our big end-of-the-year, start-of-the-year awards.
The classies, yeah.
So I was refreshing
myself. So, but...
But yeah, it was funny was he's on there, both Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns with his real name.
Yeah, no, it's... The video is John Cena trains the Shield.
And then there's Derek Bateman, like, I'm actually a WWE superstar, but I'm still with these young guys. Hi. I've been on TV for a while.
Yeah. And Big E, like, in the video, he's lifting, like, what,
yeah.
5? He's, like, bench pressing 5
oh, yeah.
something,
you know,
575?
You know the big chalkboard that you saw?
Yeah.
He's at the top of every single one of those, except for, except for one, which was Cena. But
so,
other than that, like, Big E's on every single one.
So I guess Cena would trust him to
yeah, and it's just interesting to see all those people, like, who were considered developmental at that point.
Yeah.
Like, even if you look close, I think even AJ's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know? Then there was one other diva that I think I saw.
Alicia Fox is on there.
There we go. Yeah, Alicia Fox is on there. So, I mean, there was a lot of people in that video.
Yeah.
So yeah, Big E, he's here. And that was, and I might as well go ahead tell you now, that was one of the things that I was going to tell you about the opening for SmackDown. They opened it with Miz TV, and mm-hmm. he had AJ, Big E Langston, and Dolph Ziggler. And just, I mean, maybe I caught it like a couple minutes late, but I caught it, and Ziggler and AJ are like all over each other.
Yeah.
Like, for real, like, they're just full on together now. And you know what? It's fantastic.
Okay.
With Big E as kind of like their enforcer. Essentially, he's AJ's enforcer. Like, anytime someone says the word crazy, he steps in without even saying a word. And I'm like, holy crap.
All right.
Someone online I saw made the comparison between them and the original 3DX with, they said, Shawn Michaels would be AJ, Triple H is Ziggler, and obviously China was
Big E.
I mean, it's true. The big silent enforcer.
Yeah,
was the girl.
That's, you know, that's the character I wanted for AJ in the Heyman stable is Punk's girlfriend. So like, I'll take it with Ziggler instead.
Yeah. And it was the point where it's like, just read my shirt. I stole the show, and I stole Cena's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there was one point where he was like, there's some people who are in the background, are in the back, who are just calling AJ, babe, earmuffs. And she covers her ears, like, crazy. And then he's like, you're good. And it was just like, they already had chemistry. They only had, like, that one night, or a couple nights working together, and they already have fantastic chemistry. It's...
That's good.
It's fantastic, and, you know, I'm still having this moment where I go back and I'm thinking about, you know, the big diatribe that Ziggler had where I was like, oh, Ziggler has so many feels.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, AJ, heal all of his feels. Show him that you're not like all those other girls in the past. Like, I'm completely twilighting it.
See? Here's the thing. Again, with the, like, road and all the legend turning, I do not want Dolph to get lost in any shuffle.
No. And, I mean, to be honest with you, it doesn't look like he is. Like,
well, he has the briefcase, and, like...
He has briefcase. We have a renewed interest in the briefcase after that match. And we saw that when he tried to cash it in on Monday Night.
Right.
And Cena came in.
Cena came out.
And completely, like... And, again, how is he still a face after doing that? That is a classic heel move.
I don't know.
That is bullcrap.
I think Cena's a heel, and his gimmick is whiny good guy face heel.
Pretty much.
So, I mean, we boo him enough.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But,
I don't know. Trudging along.
So.
Eventually, we have Eve Torres defending the Divas Championship against Naomi. Naomi had some good spots, but, and that's something I talked about in my column. I don't know if she's just still very green.
Yeah.
Or she's rusty because she's been dancing for the past year. I mean, she had her moments where it was just like, ooh, that, it's not as polished as you would want it to be. But, I mean, you know, still a decent match.
It's fine.
You know, a decent match considering one of them has been dancing for the past year.
Yeah.
You know. Moving right along. Big Show and Sheamus. And again, I hate chairs match. I think chairs match, really needs to be like a table match. As soon as you hit someone with a chair, done. In the match.
80-second matches.
I mean, they didn't... They it was like a good... I want to say 5 to 10 minutes before they even introduced the chair.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all the way you work around it.
Yeah, but like, if that was a stipulation, people would get... It would be chair sword fighting. Which I'm not exactly against.
I'm pretty sure that's what they were doing already.
I mean, I would be interested, but I would not debut that on a pay-per-view. I would try it out on a couple of Raws first.
Yeah, SmackDown.
Let's be honest.
That's a SmackDown.
Like, yeah, I was like, you could have something really entertaining.
Hence why the Heavyweight Championship was involved.
You could have a kiss my foot match.
This is the second straight year that the Heavyweight Championship was in a chairs match.
That's because they have to have a chairs match at some point, and they have to have a Heavyweight Championship.
They really don't have to. They could just make it a TL pay-per-view. Chairs aren't really that important because they use chairs for everything.
I know.
You know?
I know. I'm with you.
We hardly ever see tables like flat, like, you know, wooden tables other than the broadcast booths.
Yeah.
We'll see ladder matches for, you know, Money in the Bank. But other than that, that's it. But we see chairs all year round.
Yep.
Lame.
No, I'm with you on that.
Oh, and we're supposed to be all impressed with this big chair.
Never once
have we seen that big giant chair get folded, unfolded, and someone sat in it. So I'm not convinced that it's an actual chair.
Oh, I assumed it wasn't.
See?
Because
it's not an actual working chair.
Clearly, like, they had to get it special made. Like, that.
Yeah.
There's not chairs like that.
I don't know. Maybe there's, like, one factory somewhere.
Like, novelty chairs?
We're waiting for WWE to call us. We saw that Money in the Bank where Big Show used that giant freaking, or that huge ladder. So we know they're going to come calling. Sure enough.
It's so weird. I'm still...
It was an okay
totally,
match.
I'm still... But I'm so totally fine with this feud. Like, it's been three pay-per-views now.
I'm in the middle with this feud. This feud. Like, I don't care.
But
I'm not against it.
I mean, character-wise, it's Sheamus at his worst. I never liked heel Big Show.
No.
It's the heavyweight champion, which I have a hard time getting invested in anyway.
And, you know, they're swinging chairs at each other.
But
we got that last pay-per-view.
But, like, I'm okay with that. Partially because Sheamus keeps losing cleanly.
Yeah.
Which
we kept getting him winning cleanly over Del Rio month after month.
Yeah. I really like that. And I really like when he comes out the next night. He's like, yeah, I lost. Like,
yeah. Owning up to it. Fine.
So, I
think that you need to move on, though.
I'm ready now, but, like...
Yeah, now, after now...
But that's been three, and that's fine. Like, Sheamus and Del Rio felt like three after, like, one.
Yeah, yeah. It felt like they were fighting for at least 7 months.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, like, this one, I've been a lot more okay with it than I feel like I should have been.
Right. Yeah.
Are you thinking, like, title change at the Rumble, give it to Orton, cash in by Mania, and Ziggler's Orton at Mania?
I mean, honestly, I was assuming that Ziggler would have will cash in before Rumble.
Yeah?
That way, you know, because, I mean, like we've always seen, they always have this Rumble match between, or we usually have a guy involved in one of the championship matches be someone who's just kind of an upper mid carder. On the verge, just kind of, you know, dipping their toe in it. That's been Ziggler the past 2 years, so might as well do it again, but this time have Ziggler actually have the belt.
Yeah.
You know, and find a way to get away with the win.
Alright. I would really like to see Ziggler with a belt at Mania.
I really would too.
I think that would be good. And it would be the World Heavyweight because it definitely doesn't need to be mid-carder and it won't be.
Right.
The champion, so...
Well, I'm going to put a pause to the Ziggler talk, because we're going to talk about him some more.
Okay.
And we're going to move on with the card. We had the 3MB match against...
God, I love 3MB.
A newly faced Alberto Del Rio with a slightly less newer face, Miz, and the Brooklyn Brawler. Who's famous for being a jobber. I mean, come on.
I mean,
most people didn't even know he had a finisher because we've never seen it.
It's really surprising because, like, if they want Derek and Del Rio should be faced because there's nothing for him to do.
I'm completely
like the Mexican aristocrat thing does not work.
And it ran its course within a month after he debuted.
Yeah. Although I don't really care for any sort of DiBiase posse thing if he turns face.
Right.
I think just. Ignore the fact that he used to have money.
Right.
Like, I really would like that third member of that tag team to be Ricardo.
I really would have liked that too. And, you know, again, we keep pointing out, he has great experience in the ring. He has a lot of ring ability.
He can take a bump. Like
He can take a bump like it's nobody's business.
Oh, man.
So, I mean,
and
I feel like...
The dude, like, he's, like, coming to everybody's aid. He was the first one out
to save the
Spanish announcers. And
he was
then
the first one out for
on Raw, he was
for Tommy Dreamer. Yeah.
Yeah, so good on you, Ricardo.
He's the superhero we deserve.
Yeah. I think you run a risk of like having Del Rio dragging Miz back into heel territory rather than Miz helping
Del
Rio.
I know that's what they're wanting. They're wanting, you know, Miz's faceness to rub off on Del Rio's faceness, but the thing is, people are still kind of confused on how they feel about Miz being a face.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't been a face that long.
Right.
So, why? Like, that seems to be an odd pairing. If they want to really convince people that Del Rio is a face now.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're not. Maybe they want him to swim around the middle. I don't know.
I'll cheer.
Sure. I'll make something different.
Yeah, I'll make face cheers, because I'd rather than...
Just because now he's not treating Ricardo like crap, and he's, you know, petting him on the head.
Yeah. I hate Del Rio heel.
Me too. And that leads us to the final match of the night, the Money in the Bank ladder match between Dolph Ziggler and John Cena.
Yes.
Your initial thoughts?
When Ziggles went through that table, that was nice.
Oh, yeah.
That was nice. So, and John Cena, like, got some air on that jump to make that happen.
Yeah, yeah. It's just him attempting the Hurricanrana was just laughable, I thought. Just because it was just like, okay, all right, hooray, you left your feet for once, fine, whatever. But,
got
I don't know.
Air.
Sure.
He got some air. John Cena does not get air.
No, he never gets air. Ever. Ever. And I probably should stay that way, because that was ugly, to be honest with you. I mean, he was lucky that he was wrestling Ziggler.
Yeah.
And Ziggler was like, okay, I'm going to throw myself into the table.
I mean, obviously, like, Ziggler was beautiful. Cena was good.
Yeah, yeah, I mean...
And it was... And I like ladder matches.
Yeah, like, and I'll admit, Cena and Ziggler have a good chemistry.
Yeah.
In the ring. I'll give both of them that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but obviously the big story is AJ coming out.
Coming out,
and
trying to do the five moves to doom on Vicky.
Yeah.
Which was fun. And then Cena setting up the ladder, going up, and then while AJ was skipping, she stopped, pushed the ladder over.
It goes over.
Ziggler came in, super kicked John Cena in the face, which cameras didn't catch at all the first time around. I didn't even know he super kicked him until they showed the replay.
Yeah.
So I thought they were going straight off, like, oh, Ziggler saw what happened and went straight at the ladder. No, Ziggler actually did, you know, hit the last move to seal the deal, which I feel like is more stronger for Ziggler.
Yeah.
You know, because Super Cena could have easily gotten up from that.
Yeah. No, he would have bounced.
Oh, yeah.
He'd have bounced off the floor back up to the...
Yeah. And so Ziggler went up and got the briefcase, and... somehow we still ended up with a smiling Cena at the end. It seemed like the internet was really taken by that. Like, he just lost. Why is this fool showing off his doubles?
Cena just likes being out in the ring.
He's just like, it's just all swell anyway, guys.
Whatever, man.
Whatever, not, whatever, dude. It's all good.
For the fans, you know.
Yeah, put on a good show.
So
I'm happy to compete.
Yeah. So that was TLC.
That was TLC. Good, very good pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And it closed the final chapter on a very good year.
For pay-per-view.
For WWE pay-per-views.
Jeez.
There was only, like, I can only really point out one or two that were really, that I would classify as bad.
SummerSlam, that's about it for me.
And even SummerSlam, it just wasn't even the whole pay-per-view. It just seems like one or two things made us have a bad taste in our mouths.
I mean, it was the final match. It was the Triple H and Brock.
Right. Because, I mean, I remember the championship match. I haven't gotten to that point where I rewatched that one yet. But I even remember the championship match. I hadn't come away thinking, that wasn't as bad as I thought. It was Big Show wasn't as terrible.
No, yeah, that was actually a good match. You know what we need to take from this? Never take that belt off of Punk. Never, ever.
Never take that belt off of Punk. You think that's why? Because Punk had the belt this entire time?
I think there are 11 Match of the Year contenders because Punk had the title the whole year.
Alright. And yet, not a single Punk match was nominated at the Slammies.
Really?
For Match of the Year. It was Once in a Life...
Two Cenas...
Once in a Lifetime.
Wasn't that Cena and Punk?
Mm-mm. It was Once in a Lifetime. End of an Era.
Mm-hmm.
Sheamus and Big Show.
Yeah, I remember Sheamus and Big Show.
And then And it was another Cena. It was Cena and Lesnar.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep. Sheamus and Big Show. They couldn't even have bothered to put in Punk and Bryan.
I guess we have to ignore that Punk used to be a face.
I guess so.
I mean, they might not have wanted to run the risk.
I mean, Punk's title matches as a heel haven't really been as good as his son. But I mean, that can also be because of who he was up against when he was a face. He was going up against pretty
Daniel Bryan and Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I mean, those were fantastic matches. So I mean, it's hard to compare anything that someone does against other opponents to those.
Punk's Hell in a Cell, not a match of the year contender.
No. Good match. Good storytelling match.
Yeah.
Not a match of the year contender.
Yeah.
Although, Night of Champions wasn't bad.
Night of Champions wasn't bad.
Him and Cena. Which I figured at least that. They wanted two Cena nominations. There you go.
Yeah, that one could have done it.
You know.
So. Well, then they would have had three Cena nominations. Because obviously Once in a Lifetime is getting picked. And, like,
I knew Once in a Lifetime was going to get nominated. Cena and Lesnar deserve to be nominated.
Like it's a genuine consideration for me, out in the real world, not in the slam world.
Right.
Match of the year.
I still Cena winning Superstar of the Year was laughable. This is the guy who really had a rough year. If you just look on wins and losses,
he lost to John Laurinaitis.
He lost to John Laurinaitis. Mm-hmm. He lost to The Rock. Sure, he won against Lesnar barely. He won Money in the Bank, lost it a week later, just lost the night before.
Yeah.
To a upper mid card, you know.
Mm-hmm. No. It was
so
not,
I mean,
it was
it's not his. It has not been a good year for Cena wins and loss wise.
Right. So we are gonna pause a moment here. Although the story continues, but you'll find out about that next week on Classy Ring Attire. You need to remember that we are on Twitter. So follow us at CR Attire. We will be live tweeting Raws. We'll be live tweeting pay-per-views.
Not too sure about this upcoming week because of the holidays and stuff, but
Christmas.
When we get to it, we'll be on Twitter.
But yeah, we're on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, if you're following us like you should, you'll
know what's up.
Oh yeah. If you have any questions, comments, hate mail, anything you want us to address in the show, send all that to our email account. It's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We have a Tumblr, classyringattire.tumblr.com. Check that out. You can find old episodes of this podcast. Look back in time.
And if you are listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Finally, we are on iTunes.
Yeah, we are.
Check us out on iTunes. Subscribe. You get new episodes every week.
Five stars. Directly downloaded.
Give us a rating.
5 stars.
We greatly appreciate it. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.
Now we're moving on to item number 4. It's a brand new John Cena poster for my door.